Okay, could you start by stating your full name?
Isaac Maupin Jr.
Isaac Maupin Jr.?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and what is your birthday?
August
the 30th, 1934. Okay, let me... Okay, could you tell us where you lived as a child?
I lived in Lexington, Kentucky, all my life. I lived on the west side of Lexington, between Georgetown and Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And also I have lived out in Speaker Hill. But during my childhood, that was the only two places I lived really was Speaker Hill and Georgetown Street.
Okay. As fully as possible, could you discuss your parents' occupation? We can start by your father and stating his name.
His name was Isaac Maupin. He was in the Army. He died in the Army. He is dead. I don't know what he did in the Army, but I do know that that's where he died at, in the Army hospital. Mm-hmm. And my mother, well, she's dead now, but she did a lot of jobs, hard jobs, and tried to raise seven kids at a time. And that's one reason I wanted to work on the racetrack was to try to help her.
Okay. Okay, you were stating that your mom, she was raising seven children at the time, and that's the reason you started working on the...
On the racetrack.
Uh-huh.
I started working on the farm, and then I went from the farm to the racetrack. I was 13 when I first started working.
13?
Uh-huh. And also, at that time, I rode a bicycle for Hudson's Drugstore, too.
Rode a bicycle for Hudson.
Hutchinson Drugstore.
Okay. And what was your mother's name?
Patty Maupin.
Patty?
Patty.
Okay. Do you have any memories of your grandparents?
My grandmother, yes. First 5 years of my life, I lived with her.
Uh-huh.
She didn't live in Richmond. But she did now too.
Mm-hmm.
She was a hard working woman too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you started working on the backside at 13.
At 13.
Is that where your mom lived?
No. She lived at the time when I started working on a racetrack, she lived on Michigan Street. And she used to take me to Keeneland in the morning, and sometimes she'd wait for me and take me home, and sometimes she wouldn't.
So your family did not grow up on the backside?
Oh, no. I grew up on the backside.
You grew up on the backside. Okay. Do you remember any activities that you've done on the backside?
Nothing really.
Nothing really? Okay. What are your earliest memories of the track?
The earliest memory of the track was when I first came around the racetrack. There was hardly no winners around. And something else it was a lot more black around the racetrack than when I first came around.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got looking funny here because, later on, the whites started coming in. Then the white ladies started coming in. And of course, there was two or three black ladies already working on the racetrack. I do remember.
you mentioned that the jobs that you held prior to working on the track, you were an errand runner for Hudson's Drugstore. Did you hold any other job other than that prior before you worked on the track?
No, except in the summer I used to go out to Pistons Farm and pick potatoes and stuff like that. But the main job, that was where I first job that I really had was Hudson's Drugstore.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how did you come to work at the on the backside? What drove you to begin working at 13 on the backside?
Well, it wasn't drove, it just that I was put in a situation where one morning I was looking for a job to pay more money or do more work, and this fellow, Tom Brown, which is a black man, he was driving a truck for a farm, and he asked me that I wanted to work, and it was about 4 floors there on the corner, and he picked us up and brought us to the farm. And I was wondering what kind of farm this was. I seen all the horses running loose in the field. And I found out it was a horse farm that belonged to Colonel Chin, Phil Chin.
Uh-huh. Bill Chin?
Phil.
Phil Chin. Uh-huh. Colonel Phil Chin?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that's where I started it right there. I started. The very first day we went there, we didn't know what we was going to do. But they had some horses they were trying to break. And I hadn't been within 10 feet of a racehorse, of any kind of horse. And he told us that he didn't want to be scared. And I was scared to death. I was shaking.
You're shaking.
He ran put his owner horse the next day. Not owner, just belly, what they call belly across, lay across belly, and somebody was holding, and they would jump. Mm-hmm. And he'd tell you, hold on. They'd show, hold your feet to hold on. That's the way they were breaking horses. But anyway, we all run the white ride out there. We hit it on the ride, or we wouldn't be living today, I guess. That started me. That really started me because it was paying a little more than Hudson's Drugstore was. So I worked on farms for about 6 years. And somebody saw me riding on this field and he invited me over to his barn out to the racetrack. And I went out there. And actually, they kind of took me, these people kind of took me under the wing like the son. His name was Freddie Sharp.
Freddie Sharp?
Uh-huh. And he learned me to ride. He finished learning me how to ride. So from there, I just stayed on track. In fact, I followed them away two years, and each time I was sent back home because I was too young.
Oh.
I went to Michigan and they sent me back. And they said, wait there. I said, we'll be back next year. So next year, I went to New Orleans and they run me back. So.
What was the age requirement back then?
I was 16.
But you were 13 and 14 and too young.
Uh-huh.
So, as far as your education background, can you go into detail about the level of education that you have?
Yeah, it's not much really. Mm-hmm. I was in the 8th and passed the 9th, and I quit. I went to work on a racetrack, which was all right at the time. After I think about it now, it wasn't all right, but I made it. You know?
Right.
That's about the only way I think that we might have. Man made all with the whole family intact together.
Mm-hmm. So you never even went to high school?
Not really, not. Okay. Ninth grade is what I got.
Ninth grade, okay.
That was at Dunbar.
At Dunbar. Uh-huh. So, have you ever been married?
Never have.
No children?
Never have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
That's yeah, no. All right, we'll leave that alone. Okay. Could you tell me that what were the exact jobs that you worked on the backside?
The biggest job I had was riding horses, galloping horses. And then later they taught me to train license, how to train, and my training license. In fact, I got my training license at age 19.
Okay.
At 19, I was training horses. But that's in wrestling, I'll tell you the truth, in wrestling, I tell anybody, they start out training or start doing anything. Where there's money involved, and you call it a business, you should at least have a high school education.
Okay.
And if you don't have a high school education, you should have somebody along with you that does have a high school education.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, first, your training license, they trained you to get your license.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And they just taught you all the rest of the skills that you needed. Could you tell me some of the other skills that you needed to work?
Well, to run the train horses and train with the trainer license, I had exercise license and I had groom license. I had all the license that's necessary to work on a racetrack, which is actually my schooling was okay. All right, my schooling about running training horse, I would go and ask somebody if I didn't know. This is way before I got my training license. I would go ask somebody about horses, and who I would have asked. It would always be some older person, I mean way old, somebody that's been around a long time.
Right.
In fact, I had one white guy used to teach me every morning down in Florida. I would go by his barn and we sat there and talked, and he showed me different stuff to put on horses and different things to do for him.
So do you know the name of some of these teachers? Oh,
yeah, they did, though. The white guy, I'd say, he's dead, and Joe Lopez, I worked for him for about 4 years.
Okay.
He was good with horse legs.
What was his name?
Joe Lopez.
Joe Lopez, okay.
And then I had another guy, Ray Blanchard.
Ray Blanchard.
Well, he was probably better than Ray Man and them, except Joe Lopez. Joe Lopez and Ray Blanchard worked together one time. So they know they make up their own medicine, which is very good medicine. Some of it I use out here, but I never tell the only two people know what we use, and that's me and Big Brown.
Okay, you said they make their own medicine for the horses? For bruises, or what was the medicine for?
For legs. It's a lot.
For their legs.
Legs. A lot of medicine that's made on that's on the market that's sold over the counter, it's no good unless you put other stuff in, and other stuff makes it worse better.
Okay, you have to do your own doctoring to it.
Yeah, well, see, when I came around the racetrack, first came around, you had to do most of your own doctoring, because it was weird everywhere. A doctor would die rich until a year later, and a year later.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, Ike, about their, now I want to ask you questions about the pay and the hiring practices back then. How much were you getting paid then?
Back then, I wasn't getting much. I was paid, like, the first time I went to New Orleans, I think he gave my mother $500, and, you know, and because he wanted me to work, and she didn't want me to go, really.
Mm-hmm.
And the pay was kind of like, I was getting $3, but that was on the running stage, you know. Mm-hmm. When they teaching, you don't get much. They would give me $3 a day to eat. And at the end of the week, they would give me something like $40,
mm-hmm.
you know, which was, hey, that wasn't too bad, because a lot of times the guy trying to run or ride horses, which is where most of your money at when you're working, is riding horses. You get hard nothing. You get nothing, really.
So they gave you $3 a day to eat and $40 a week?
Yeah.
At the end of the week?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So do you feel like the pay and the hiring practices back then were fair and equal?
It depends what you want to learn to do or what you want to do. If I wanted didn't want to get a part, just walk horse or groom horse,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't right. That wasn't fair. And
what wasn't fair about that?
Oh, it was worth a heck of a lot more, you know.
Oh, because it made more money.
They did, because they didn't have to tell them nothing. They didn't have to show them. See, actually, back then, a guy, you say you want to run a ride a horse, he's taking a heck of a chance with his velvet horse, letting you get on, because you don't know how to ride, so you can run into something, you can hurt the horse or hurt yourself. He hurt the horse, he's out of business too. You know, so you didn't get much pay.
Okay. What jobs required the most skill and training from what you can remember?
That's it, a riding horse.
A rider, yeah. A jockey.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And what were considered the best positions back in that time that you feel were the best positions to work in?
The best to be,
mm-hmm.
for kind of job. Well, my kind of job, the best I thought would be with the groom racehorses, groomer. I love the groom horses, really.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you, I never did like to ride a horse. That was something necessary to get some money,
mm-hmm.
to make some money.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the groom horse, and I like when a horse gets hurt, I like to work on it. See him when he gets well, then I'll feel good.
Mm-hmm.
As far as riding horses, I never did like, and I never liked it at all.
So you never liked to ride horses, you like to groom them and take care of them,
mm-hmm.
like your own little children.
Well.
Okay. Can you describe a typical work day from the time you woke up until the time you retired in the evening? What was a typical work day like for you?
Typical work day was get up early, get up at 5, leave 5, get there about 6, and you... You always try to get through around 11:30. Most horses eat at 11. So, I mean, you try to feed your horses at the same time the rest of them eating, so they won't get disturbed, you know. And then you come back in the evening, you give them more feed and more water. Then you tell them good night. And you see them tomorrow morning. You check it, you know, make sure they all,
So what time did you know to retire? What time of the evening?
About 5:30.
Okay.
That's safe for good.
Mm-hmm.
That's here, you know, at the races, sometimes you don't retire until around 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Okay. Okay. So how much time did you spend on the job on any given day? About 11 hours, 12 hours? From 6 to 6 is 12 hours?
Yeah, it's about 11 hours. It's also been said that it's a 24-hour job. Really, I mean, sometimes you're stuck, you have to, something wrong with the horse by the time you get ready to leave. You have to stay with them all night, sit with them all night. It just depends, but I say approximately 11 hours is what it takes to get through a whole day.
Mm-hmm. So, when you're working for the owners and grooming their horses and training, where did you stay?
Sometimes you have to live on a racetrack with the horses, sometimes. And sometimes you get an apartment or room somewhere and you live there.
Do they provide those accommodations for you and you have to provide them for yourself?
You have to find them.
You have to find them? Mm-hmm. So when you stay with the horses, what do you do, stay in the stalls with them?
It's a tack room. It's called a tack room, but it's the same as the stall.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the same environment they are in, in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, actually, the groom should, I think most, the best groom, you'll find out that they want to stay there. They want to be next to their horse. Their horse is their money. Race horse is big money now.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of them want to stay there. Uh-huh.
Okay. So most of the groomers, they just like to be near the horse, so they rather stay at their check room, not stall, check room, right near the horse.
Yeah.
Okay. Ike, was there a sense of community among the backside workers?
It is now. Yeah, but see, like I said, I didn't go on check when I was about 13. It was something like this. The whites didn't like the food with the blacks then.
Mm-hmm.
And the blacks definitely didn't like the food go where the white was. So, in that kind of situation, they kind of separated themselves.
Uh-huh.
Now they go together. They go out together, eat together, drink together, do everything else together.
As far as the backside workers, you guys hung together and did things together as far as activities or anything of that nature?
See, I'll tell you something, the racetrack group used to be a tight-knit family. They used to run in like four or five together at a time. They was real tight-knit.
Uh-huh.
But it's not like that no more. In fact, the backside is no probably no fun now, because it's been about 11 years since I've really fooled around on the backside, but it's not like it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you think the changes are now because of what?
I have no idea. They just quit hanging together and quit running around here.
So
I think the change is, I'll be honest with you, okay, you say this guy from New Orleans, this guy's from Michigan, this guy's from Ohio, and they all run together, but they're not familiar with the territory they run in.
Mm-hmm.
So things, you might get in a fight once in a while or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And fights ain't like they used to be now. When they fight to hurt you, fight to kill, really.
So you just kind of stick to yourself to avoid conflict.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So because of some of the different culture backgrounds, different locations, people moving in from different areas, you just don't know who to trust and how to handle certain things. Okay. Back then, when the backside was, what you say, a lot better at that time, were there social events that the backside workers did, like holidays
and they had, yeah, and they had About every month they have boxing matches. They have things for people to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And
what was this boxing gym?
Yeah. Boy, was it?
What was the name of it?
I don't know. No, they had like they would have one boxing matches in Delaware, uh-huh. Michigan, and every track you go to, they would have a place for the guys to train.
So were the boxers workers, or were the boxers?
Oh, most of them were workers.
They were workers on the backside. They're boxing.
Yeah.
That was part of the activity.
Yeah, boxing part of the activity.
Oh, okay.
And it wore off a lot of energy too. So that's another reason why people don't go to town, because they did have activity.
Uh-huh. Any other activities other than boxing that you can remember?
Foot races. And they gave away prizes for foot races. And uh-huh. A whole lot of things the racetrack would have for people to do, you know. Every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, and probably at some tracks there at Easter, they give dances,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, the racetrack really try to give a lot of activity for the backside if they could.
Uh-huh. Have you ever worked at Churchill Downs?
Uh-huh.
So do you remember any activities? They provided some of those same activities?
Yeah.
Do you remember any other services that they may have provided, or any other track may provide outside to the families? Do they provide other living accommodations, health insurance, or?
Only to you have to belong to the HBPA, which that's the Carson Benevolent Protection Association,
mm-hmm.
and which I belong to. Your whole family, I guess, can get covered in the insurance, because I'm covered by this.
Mm-hmm.
I get those every other month.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm now a lifetime member of the HBPA. No matter what happens now, I'm a lifetime member.
Mm-hmm.
But see, HBPA used to be at the easy, needed not to get in, not for a black man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's all, but I know is, I say out of all people saying I say it's probably 2 out of 7 is black.
In this HPPA?
Uh-huh.
About 2 out of 7 are black?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Did they, Houston didn't have no blacks in it at all.
Uh-huh.
People.
Okay, and this, how is that coverage paid for, by the owners, or?
It's by the owners. It's by the horse they run. Every horse that has to go, most of them use a pony to go to the races with. And when they use a pony, they take out, I think it's $10 each they charge for it.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, if they win, they take it out. If it don't,
uh-huh.
So the HBPA is rich. It's got a lot of money, because you figure out of 10 races a day, practically all of them got a pony.
Uh-huh.
So you practically got a winner every day.
Okay.
Every.
Okay. Well, now I'm going to ask you about people that you work with. What about some of the owners that you worked with? Is there any owner that stand out in your mind that you enjoyed working with?
Yeah. People that had the Murray Collar Paint Company. I worked with them 12 years.
What was the name of the company?
Murray Collar Paint Company.
Mary Carter Paint Company?
It's uh-huh. just been so...
Uh-huh.
It was fun to work with them, because they raced mainly in Florida. And then in the summer they would run in Miami, and in the winter they come back. Their base is in Tampa, and they come back to Tampa. So I would go south and then back west.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, is there any other owners that you that stand out of your mind?
Yeah. Mr. Wild, Ray Blanchard. I worked for him for a long time.
Ray Blanchard?
He died. He's a fellow that I was working for when I got my trainer, I think. And I always respect that man, because I never got trained like him, but for him. Mm-hmm. Because he begged me to do it. He begged me to go get it, or somebody else going to take over to stay with him. That's when he was real sick. Mm-hmm. He came over and got me and took me over his house in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. And he said, this is a good place to get. And in fact, with him, with Ray Blanchard, a lot of stuff I learned that I didn't know nothing about, really. Mm-hmm. I never knew a lot of things that he taught me.
So Ray Blanchard was like a mentor to you?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. And he was, like I said, he was good with leg paint and fixing horse legs. Mm-hmm. He taught me a lot of that. And he told me before he died, not to let this stuff get away. Keep it. Gotta have it written down somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Have you done that?
Yeah.
What did you write it at?
Huh?
Where is it written?
It's written. I have it at home.
You have it at home? Mm-hmm. Oh, should we put it in the book for you?
No.
Okay, Ike, what about trainers that you've worked with? Is there any trainers that stand out in your mind that you've worked with?
No, the only person that really would stand out right now would be, one day he's going to be a good trainer, but he just has to get where he can do it regular. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm talking about Mr. Berry. One day he'd be a good Mr. Berry, he...
Julius Berry?
Julius. Uh-huh. He listened. And he'd come, he asked me about it, and I'd tell him, yeah, I said, all right. But one day he will be a good trainer. Uh-huh. He just has to get where he don't have nothing else to do.
But just concentrate on horses. Okay. What about jockeys that you work with? Have you had any positive experience with jockeys that you've worked with over the years?
Well, I'll tell you, I had this one boy. I guess he's still riding up, but his name is Swain. I can't, when Swain was 2 years old, uh-huh. When he was 2 years old, I worked for his daddy. I it was my job to take care of him. And
to take care of Swain?
Swain. And not only him, he had seven other children. Mm. I took care of, like if they had to go somewhere, mm-hmm. I'd take them. And at that time, I was a black man. I'd take him in the show, and they never said nothing. You know, I'd take him right on in there. Mm-hmm. And I'd pick him up and bring him back. Now, so, I guess Swain turned out to be a good rider. Mm-hmm. I hear him riding a horse when he was 3 years old. He was riding a pony then, you know. He just kept riding and kept going. Now, he was a good... I guess he's still riding good.
What's his last name?
Swain.
What's his first name?
Clifford.
Clifford Swain. So he was a white jockey?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was very good too. At when he first died, I guess he's still pretty good, but age always wears out.
Yeah. So what horses have you worked with in the past? Remember some of the horses that stand out in your mind that you worked with?
One that really stands out is Degenerate Gal.
The Gentle Girl?
Degenerate Gal.
Degenerate Girl.
Uh-huh. And nothing was Pride and Bow. They were both two good horses.
Pride and Bow?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Pride and Bow.
Pride and Bow.
Yeah, I stayed with him. I was there with him when he was folded. Uh-huh. I was with him till he quit running. He was 7 years old. I took care of him. He was kind of like my baby pet. Uh-huh. So, but this Degenerate Gal, she just quit racing 2 years ago. She made a flat $1 million. Uh-huh. And that's why I like her. She she only run about, I think, 3 years. Mm-hmm. If she did run at me. She was here.
Okay, I now want to talk about the working and the living conditions associated with the backside. How do you feel the working and the living conditions were? Do you feel like they were adequate? Do you?
No, the living conditions are bad. Mm-hmm. And actually, out here, working conditions are bad. This place here is,
You talk about here, the Kentucky Horse Park?
Yeah, here. It's no pay is terrible. Mm-hmm. And of course, that don't bother me now. I'm not really working. You know, I'm mostly pissing around. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the other guys that I work with, they find it tough, really.
Mm-hmm. So, as far as the living conditions back then, what do you consider was bad about them?
About now?
The living conditions then.
Oh. They wasn't that bad, really. I mean, they wasn't too bad then. Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel like the working conditions need to be improved, or the living conditions today need to be improved?
They both need to be improved.
How do you feel? How so? How does...
Well, the working condition is terrible. God can't get a decent job here, really. Mm-hmm. A real decent job. He wants to stay in Lexington, stay home. He has to leave here. He couldn't do it. As far as working condition around here, most everybody wants you to work all day, no day off, which is wrong. You're supposed to have on the racetrack, you're supposed to have, as of now, you're supposed to have, every man should have a day off, at least one day off. But around here, you can't get a day off. They need to work all that. The fact they need a union here or something, where people can get a day off.
That was my next question for you. How do you feel about unions? You feel like the union would help
them
in living and working conditions?
Yes, it would help this place a lot. Mm-hmm. And the union is exactly what they need.
Have you ever belonged to one?
I'll tell you the truth. In a way, no. I was in New York when I was in St. Louis too when it struck. But I was in New York when the groom struck up there. I just wasn't in no position really to jar them because, see, like I said, I worked for Mary Crowder Payton at that time, and we only had two horses up there, and it was two of us, so we could get a day off whenever we got ready to get a day off. In fact, we did. We alternate one day on, one day off. Mm-hmm. But them guys, they struck up there. They got a union and they got made now. They get a day and a half off a week. They get top pay. Uh-huh. And around here, it just ain't like that. You got to work 7 days a week, and they still get bottom pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anything you regret about working on the backside?
No, not... not really. I have no complaints, really. Mm-hmm. I really did good working on since I've been on track. Cause I was up to the last 3 years, I could always make money doing something, you know, until I got really sick. Mm-hmm. And then when I got sick, you know, I would get up and go to work. But I knew I was sick. I was stubborn and didn't want to quit.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So, as a child growing up, did you have any dreams and goals beyond what you were doing that you hoped that you could accomplish by working in the backside?
Yes, I did.
What were they?
Well, one dream was make enough money But I'd always have a mother with me. I wouldn't have to leave her. Mm-hmm. And that didn't come true. And, in fact, I didn't want to ever get out of my sight, really. That's about it. And then I had dreams about, you know, owning some horses. And I don't mean about one. I have owned one and one at a time. But them horses I own wasn't the right kind of horses. They could run. You know, they may win one race every 8 months or every year. You know, but you don't keep any kind of horse. You get rid of them and they don't win. So that dream fell apart, really. Being an owner for myself and working for yourself. That's still a dream. Mm-hmm. Working for yourself. You ain't got to worry about nobody saying, come on, do this. You haven't do that. You won't do that. Which I go, when I was working, I would go all day. You know, whatever you say, I would do.
So do you feel that, what do you feel at the backside, what did the backside provide that you could do, that you feel as you're glad that you were on the backside and you were glad you worked there? What opportunities did it give you that you were proud about?
Opportunity to meet a lot of people, mm-hmm. some famous, some not so famous.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things to get around and help people that may need some help, you know, with their horse. And besides, I had a lot of knowledge about horses because that's what I would try to do every day. I get up and learn something. You know, like I mm-hmm. said the other day, I said, you learn something new every day. I learned something new the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. It sure worked. And I was told it worked, and I said, no, it won't. But it did. So, you're learning something every day if you around here around the backside.
Mm-hmm.
You learn something every day.
Mm-hmm. But do you feel like the owners and the jockeys and trainers back in the day of the backside when it was active, how do you feel that they respect, the respect level for the workers? Do you feel like you were respected for the man that you were and for the knowledge that you had? You feel like they respected
you? Okay, all right. For the knowledge you had, you said it right. That they respect you for that. And they'll figure out some way to try to get it out of you, ask you some way to help them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which is about as far as they go, because once they find out what they want, they go.
But they really used you.
Yeah, used
you. Mm-hmm.
I have been used a lot, too. But it don't bother me. It comes. It always comes back to people that does it to you. The racetrack is most of the trainers are white. Most of your best grooms are black. And that's the only they try to butter up something. Whenever there's something wrong, I see them go to a black man the whole time.
Uh-huh.
And ask them this and that. Uh-huh.
So what was it like for you being a black man working in the horse industry?
It was tough at first because I was, when I first started, I was still a kid. I mean, you know, a little boy, what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to take a lot of abuse. I took a lot of abuse. But I took that abuse just to learn. I think one day I'll learn, mm-hmm. you know. And I did learn. It was rough.
So you feel like you took a lot of abuse?
Uh-huh.
In the industry, being a black man?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What main contribution do you feel that blacks have made to the industry?
They've made a lot. Like I said, at one time, except for the riders, and the only reason why the riders, not as many black riders, is they are built different. Most black people are built, most heavy solid. It ain't because they eat different. They eat a lot of heavy food that make them heavy. There's no black rider can hold a weight down just right. But there's some good boys that look like they're gonna make good riders, but they just ate themselves out of the sun. It's got too big, but they still good exercise for riders. And most of them are black. And most of your best rooms, like I said, are black. You got a lot of black trainers that are good, real good trainers. And one in particular is he's dead now, he died too. Perry Smith.
Perry Smith, right.
And he was a very good trainer, really. Uh-huh. He's smart horse.
Do you feel like the black riders were given fair opportunities as the pay started to increase? Do you feel like they were pushed aside?
Yeah, they was pushed aside, and a lot of black trainers, they still being pushed aside, black trainers are. And what really got me is, I didn't know all you black riders, but I read it.
Okay, you were saying that you read a lot of books and that the whites pushed out the blacks.
Uh-huh. They just pushed them out. Mm-hmm. Because there was a lot more black riders then. And there was a few more on our first team around than what it is now.
Uh-huh.
And they just got pushed out because they didn't get the mounts to ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Do you feel that the horse industry has improved this relationship for African Americans?
No, still same.
No?
Still Jim Crow as ever. I hate to put it like that, but that's...
That's still what?
It's Jim Crow.
Jim Crow.
Do you know what that
means? I don't know what that means.
I mean, the whites don't care about the blacks at all.
Uh-huh.
The only thing they really care about is a black... Black can sit here and the white can sit over here. When he gets through talking, he thinks he's smarter than that black. He gonna get the information out of it that he don't have.
Uh-huh.
He thinks that's the only reason why he sat there to begin with.
Okay. You mentioned about reading a lot of books and things that you had.
Uh-huh.
What did you pick up the additional? Did you, even though you didn't go to high school, you just kept reading and educating yourself?
I educated myself.
Self-educated man.
Self-educated. Mm-hmm. Now I read, I write. Of course, I read and write when I got out of school.
Right.
School. But I do it better now. And a lot of words that I see and didn't know what they mean,
mm-hmm.
I get a little dictionary that I look it up, mm-hmm. and find out what it means. And if I couldn't find it that way, I would ask somebody to do them the same way that they would get something out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Just slide up to them and ask them on the fly.
Okay. That's interesting. So,
yeah.
In some of your pastime, when you're just alone, you just read and...
I read, yeah. A lot of times there, y'all would have a lot of time together at night. I never started going out till around 21, 22. I never took a drink, really. I wish I had never started, really. And I would be around by myself, and I would read. Write some out of the letter, but most I would do was read.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have any major regrets about not finishing high school? Have you ever thought about finishing high school?
Yeah. I always said if I had finished school, I'd be still training horses. Because see, one thing about a guy with a high school education, he can talk to people. You know, he knows how to talk to people. You know, no, I could start out with 8 or 9 horses today and pull them all out. Somebody done grab the owner and they have talked to it, you know. And I wouldn't know how to, in fact, I never run yet, how to hold a conversation with a man that has a high education. Because he can always, once he find out and you start talking, he gonna know that I got you. At least I'm smarter than you this way. So your heart's gonna disappear.
You still feel that way even after reading all that material those type of things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, still do.
Do you think it's a difference in the knowledge of the industry? Do you feel like that?
I feel like this is what I've seen and what I know. Everybody, I seen guys train horses that couldn't read and write at all. They win some races,
uh-huh.
But they never get to keep the horses. Mm-hmm. See, I've seen that may be one reason wrong with the black trainers, really. They just don't have most of them didn't get the right education.
Mm-hmm.
So nowadays, you check and see that the most of your leading trainers all got education.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the leading trainers of the world, they educate. They don't know no more than you do about training race horses, but they have the education. They know how to go talk to people that got the money to get good horses. And they can talk to them, and they somehow or another a man with a lot of money, he'll listen to an educated man before he listens to a man with no education,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense. If I go try to keep my money, I get me a smart man.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was there anything else you think that you want to talk about that I might not have covered, that you've experienced on the backside or you experienced today?
Yeah, you pretty well covered about everything. Yeah.
Okay. Well, before we conclude our interview, I want to get you to sign a donor release form that okays the information that we can use
right.
This tape
okay.
from you.
Okay.